Hey, it's August 6th, 2017. This is Beginner's Puck, a podcast for hockey fans both new and old. Happy summer, Deb.
I know. It is summer. We've been hither and yon, which is why there hasn't been a hockey podcast, besides the fact that there hasn't been any hockey on.
There's not a lot to talk about.
It's sad. It's the dark days. It is the dark days. What are we, like 61 days out still?
Too many.
Endless.
Too many.
It's endless. I mean, there's other sporting things happening, but it's not hockey. Not the same.
There's a lot of baseball on my TV, and I can't say I'm happy about it. That's just not my thing.
Well, I've been going to a lot of soccer games, but let's face it, the Philadelphia Union are not stellar this year. So the beer is good.
Well,
but the game,
something.
The game's not so much. Yeah. But you missed our last episode where we got to talk about the draft recap, the expansion draft, the actual draft. And since that time, we've also had the free agency period open up. So I thought maybe we could catch up a little bit because we haven't really had a chance to talk hockey because we've been talking about a lot of Doctor Who lately, but not so much hockey. So I thought maybe we could kind of catch up on that. So
yeah.
What did you think about your expansion draft pick? I was like, I'm like, who? Who was that?
I did not know who he was before the Oilers took him. Immediately, I was like, Yamamoto? That doesn't sound like a hockey name. This is great. Let's check out this guy. And the fact that he is the smallest, shortest player to ever be picked in the first round makes me super happy. Because if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, you know that I love little players. I like the players who are able to compete, even though their stature is much less than some of the giants that may surround them on the ice. I like players who are fast, and usually the smaller players have to be fast because that's, you know, they have to compensate in some way. So I just could not be more excited than like this person. I had not been paying much attention, I have to admit. I knew that you were going to get one of the two. You're going to have Nico or Patrick, but I had no idea how it was going to go down any lower than that. I was busy with other things, and yeah, finding out that this is who the Oilers took, just thrilled.
Yeah, the Flyers did really well this draft. There's a couple players that are standing out. They just signed Morgan Frost, who they traded to get like in the 20s something. Just signed him to an entry-level contract. And, of course, Nolan Patrick, who has the poor kid, you know. He gets drafted. He goes back in and has surgery for an undiagnosed sports-related hernia. He knew that they had it, and the Flyers knew they had it. But when he originally had his sports-induced hernia operation, they didn't realize it was the second one that needed to be fixed. So that all got fixed. And then he got an infection on his face. Which meant
yeah.
that he...
What? How does
know,
that happen?
Right? This is like, I remember, you know, somebody was saying that hockey management is always so vague about injuries. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
It's always an upper body injury, a lower body injury. Like, just tell me what's wrong with him. In this case, they're like, no, he's got an infection on his face. It was a boil that needed to be lanced. And we're like, oh my God, too much information. Couldn't you just say like an upper body injury, upper face injury? Yeah, it was kind of gross. But it did mean that he missed development camp, which is kind of sad because I was actually at one day of development camp for the Flyers, and I was really looking forward to checking out what he had on the ice. Mm-hmm. So I didn't get a chance to see him.
That's
which
a bummer.
Was sad. Yeah, but he seems to be doing okay. I did see some video where he is back on the ice. He is working on his conditioning and training, and expectations are like he's going to, you know, have skates in Wells Fargo this year. Looks like he's going to be jumping right in. But that's not formally been said, but that's sort of the buzz in the internet, which is always right, as we know. So, yeah, that was exciting. So how about your expansion draft loss? That's who I was thinking about when I first started talking about this. Like, I had no idea who that was. So, of which, I don't know every player on the Oilers, obviously, because I don't follow them quite as closely as you do. So, but it wasn't one that jumped out at me as saying, oh, that really hurts.
It was fine. Like, I can't say I was surprised, to be perfectly honest. And he's fine. Like, he's a good player. But I just look forward to watching him play there, you know? And, like, actually, I have to say that Griffin Reinhart was somebody that I've been watching for kind of a long time because he was on the Edmonton Oil Kings, which is our WHL team. And we went to the playoffs for their run to the Memorial Cup when I moved here in 2014. 2014? Yes. And Griffin Reinhart was a big part of the team at that time. You know, he was scoring quite a bit and was just, you know, he was, I can't remember if he was the captain or not. He might have been. But anyway, so when he ended up on the Oilers, I was really excited. And then he just, he was fine, but he just didn't quite have that spark. And, you know, that happens with young hockey players sometimes. He just hasn't quite developed yet. So I am very excited for him to go and maybe make more of a name for himself with a newer team. Because I just didn't think that he was really going to be up with the big boys all that much, even if he had stuck around with Oilers. So yeah, like, you know, he's close to my heart in one way, but I'm kind of okay with him being on a different team and just rooting for him down there.
Yeah, there wasn't a whole lot of surprise. I think the one that everybody seemed to be kind of clutching, well, obviously Marc-Andre Fleury, but that seemed to be a foregone conclusion when that happened. But then there was a lot of sort of running of garments and wailing about Nate Schmidt being selected.
Yes.
That
poor
one,
Caps
that,
fans.
That stung a lot of people. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. There's still noises. You're like, trade them back. You can get them back. It's not too late.
That's kind of adorable.
He was just an adorable little hockey boy. So I think I think his personality is going to be keenly missed there. We lost Pierre-Édouard de Bellemare, who is, I mean, I think he'll be 40 this year or just turned 40. So, you know, somebody, it's kind of, he's a good guy. Do you know what I mean? But it's not, it wasn't a loss that's going to hurt, I think. Obviously, when you lose that sort of veteran presence, I think it makes a difference in the locker room. I don't know that it's going to make a difference on the ice at all. I mean, he was sort of on our bottom three, you know, he was always out there doing a power play, but, or I'm sorry, in a penalty kill, but it just doesn't, I don't think it's going to sting too much. More excited, though, even after the draft, was the free agency period. Were there any moves that you guys made that kind of caught your fancy? I know there was a little bit of shifting there with, you got a Strom.
We did. We now have one of the Stroms. It's going to take me a little while to like remember which one is ours.
I think we have Matthew. I think we drafted Matthew.
Yeah.
So we have a Strom on the Flyers now.
Mm-hmm. Everybody gets one.
Skate better. He needs to skate a little bit better before he can make a presence. But we have one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't follow enough of what, you know, other players are sort of doing other places really closely to sort of come in with any sort of preconceived notions about these players. And I'm kind of happy about that because somebody plays one way on a certain team, when they get moved, the chemistry is going to be completely different. So yeah, you can learn about, you know, their basic skills and stuff. But I really like discovering what a player is like as I watch them, you know, with my team. So I'm just excited to sort of see that happening. I'm really looking forward to the preseason. I love watching preseason games when they're, you know, trying people out, trying combinations out that you might not necessarily see later. And I just, it's fun. And I don't know what they are going to be doing for like any kind of, you know, training camp type stuff. Last year, they didn't do anything at Rogers Place because it wasn't ready yet. But the year before that, they had a little thing at Rexall Place, which is the previous rink. And a big part of that was simply because everybody wanted to come and see Connor McDavid. Like, you know.
Yeah.
So, like, it was, that place was packed, and I went, and it was great. And I liked watching Connor McDavid, but I was just as excited to look at the other players and the other prospects and, like, the, you know, the rookies and see who was going to make the big team. And I think that at that time, Teddy Purcell was new to the team and, like, immediately caught my eye. And he's not even with the team anymore, but I really liked him while he was around. But so I don't know if they're going to do something like that again. If they do, I am going to make my best effort to make it there. And I feel like it would make sense for them to do it because now that Rogers Place is up and running, like that's a wonderful place to watch any kind of hockey. And it's right downtown. It's easily accessible. Heck, if they do it in the afternoon, I could like leave work because I work downtown and just like take a long lunch and go watch some hockey. And people are still just as excited, if not more, to go and see Connor McDavid do anything, especially yeah. now that he has signed with the team for a really long time. He's going to be around for 8 years. And like basically gave the Oilers a discount on what was rumored to be the case. The rumors were all saying it was going to be an 8-year deal at $13.25 million per year, but in the end, it ended up being less than that, 12.5. But still, 8 years. It's still like a long contract. And
yeah.
his skill and the amount of good that he has done this team, he could have pushed for more. He could have pushed for a shorter amount of time to be in Edmonton. He could have pushed for like the maximum contract of like, you know, $15 million a year, but he didn't. And I think that has endeared him to the city even more than he was already beloved, if that's even possible. So mm-hmm. pretty excited.
Well, two things that you said that I want to just maybe elaborate on for some yeah. of our newer hockey fans. Preseason hockey is made up of players who might make the team, might not make the team. But it's sort of taking all the people that are in training camp who management feels like, oh, we're going to see what these guys have. And you'll often have, I know at least with the Flyers, you'll do like split squads. So you'll have mm-hmm. part of your team will be playing, you know, and they'll play one game and then you'll have a completely sort of whole different roster for another game with maybe only a few of the players crossing over. And like you said, it's really a chance for management and the coaches to see how things are working, where the development is of players. I know we had a player play in preseason last year who ended up getting bumped down to the ECHL this year.
Whoa.
So, well, yeah, just because there wasn't space. Do you know what I mean? Like if you have a lot of really quality players, then, which is a great problem to have, you sort of have to, you know, you have to make those really hard decisions. It's not saying that player isn't going to come back up again, but, you know, we were just really lucky with our depth that mm-hmm. we had the depth there, that it was sort of an embarrassment of riches that didn't pan out on the ice, but in preseason it looked really good. but anyway, so that's when you're talking preseason games, there's mm-hmm. a reason for it. There's a reason why they don't count. The players that you're seeing in preseason may end up on your AHL or WHL team, or maybe even your step mm-hmm. below that. And yeah. also, you're talking about the contracts, particularly the Connor McDavid contract. There's a lot of things, and I noticed this in listening to NHL Sirius and reading the blogs and things over the summer, is the terminology that people use when they're talking about contracts. They'll always say term. And just basically what term means is the number of years. It's the term of the contract. But they use that as a sort of a shorthand, you know, like it's $8 million. The term is, you know, 8 years or something. So if you hear somebody just like talk about, well, that it was bad for term. The, mm-hmm. What they're really meaning is the money was OK, but you're talking about a player who let's look at perhaps TJ Oshie just got a huge contract with Washington Capitals. But I think, you know, he's in his 30s. His term and his contract is 8 years. So that's, you know, negotiating thing. A player wants a longer term as they get older because they know their productivity is going to decline, where a team is like, you know, they'll take a chance on a player. They might want to give him shorter term because they know that they're, as they get older, depending on their type of play and you know, just who the player is. Jaromir Jagr throws that curve off completely.
Yeah.
But
he's very old
yeah,
for a hockey player.
it's one of the negotiating things it comes down to. It's not always money. Sometimes it's term, and term will break you, as we will talk about when we get to talking about the Dallas Stars in off season and what they did with Alexander Radulov, who was holding out for term, not necessarily the money. And Montreal didn't want to give him the term, so he went someplace else. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Speaking of the preseason thing, actually, you reminded me, talking about split squads. That is one thing that Edmonton and Calgary usually do, is they will have one of the preseason games nights. They will have do exactly what you said, take a split squad. So they'll have, like, you know, this group of the Oilers is going to be one team and this group of the Oilers is going to be a different team. And Calgary does the same thing. And they just basically swap. Half of the Oilers go to Calgary, half of the Flames come up to Edmonton, and they actually play games at exactly the same time, which is really frustrating for me because I want to watch them both. and they, you know, they will show both of them online, but watching two hockey games at a time, it distracts. I find myself distracted, and I always miss the exciting stuff. Doesn't matter which screen I'm watching, the excitement happens on the other one. But that's a really interesting way to do it if you have teams that are close enough to, because then you said, it's like a shakedown to see how people are doing. And it's fun to watch as the preseason evolves. From, you know, at the beginning, you get a split squad and just, like, everybody's thrown out there and you see how they're doing. And then toward the end of the preseason, you're seeing your main players out there getting their feet wet again and getting back into it and sort of figuring out, you know, how the chemistry is going to work between different groupings and pairings. And it's fun.
I know. I can't wait. September can't get here fast enough. I'm really excited. All right. So the other thing I wanted to chat about with you is, what are we looking forward to for the upcoming season? See, you're a mono team person, where I tend to be more a poly team sort of person. So I have some teams out there that are intriguing me this year. I'm kind of excited. Obviously, Las Vegas Golden Knights. I'm sorry.
Vegas Golden Knights.
Mm-hmm. They are going to be so bad. But because this isn't the team. This is their starter pack. They have to get the expanded packs in order to make this a good team. But because they're so new and shiny and they're just doing things differently than any other team because it's Vegas, they're going to be super fun to watch this year, and I can't wait. And we're going to go see a game, which delights me.
Yeah, together. I love getting to go see hockey with you, Deb. That's just one of the best things.
Yeah, that's going to be, we're going to have to do a podcast on the road because we're driving from Los Angeles to Las Vegas. So it's going to be a road trip and a hockey trip all at the same time.
So excited.
Very excited.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to Vegas as well. I'm just... This is my, for both of us, our first time with a new team coming into the league while I'm, you know, a big time fan. So it's all new. And as you have mentioned before, Vegas's social media presence is already totally on point. So I just feel like everything surrounding that team is going to be fantastic. So even if the team, you know, struggles to start up, as teams often do, that's just going to be a delight to follow. Especially since they're in my time zone. So, yay.
Lucky you. Mm-hmm. All right. So anything else that's intriguing you outside of your Edmonton Oilers? Anything else catch your eye with trades, free agency, movements, management movements?
Well, you guys talked about, I believe you and Rachel talked about the goalie go-round that happened.
Yes, my gosh.
Which was hilarious. For anybody who wasn't listening last time, picture a circle of, was it five teams?
Yeah.
So picture the logos of five teams laid out in a circle. Now picture the names of those goalies, like, you know, in a slightly larger circle, sort of lined up with those teams. Now take the inside circle of those teams and click it one click to the left, and that's exactly what happened. Like, all of these goalies just moved one team over. And the thing that I think delights me the most, and I almost hate to admit this because it's kind of mean, is that Mike Smith, who used to be on the Arizona Coyotes, Phoenix Coyotes, has moved to Calgary. And for reasons, mostly because he's kind of a whiner and a diver, I think, he's now on Calgary, who is, you know, my inside the province rival. I'm like extra excited that they have a goalie that I don't like. because I can cheer against them more easily now. Yeah. Oh. Yep. So that's, I know that's terrible. And usually I'm like all about being the positive fan and focusing on the good stuff. But yeah, I didn't have a problem with Elliot, their previous goalie. And, you know, so now it's like, and I love goalies so much that it's really
he's now
hard
our
for
goalie.
Me. I know. Yeah. So goalie.
We got him.
Yep. Ah, so much fun.
I didn't know you had such strong feelings about Mike Smith.
I really do. Yeah. Usually I don't even say Mike Smith. I say Mike effing Smith. I don't say effing. Yeah. Just yeah. Well, see, the thing is, being out here in the West, I have seen him much more often because, you know, I've seen him play the Oilers multiple times, and I've watched a lot of other games between the Coyotes and other teams in the Pacific Division. So I've had a lot more. You know, sometimes familiarity breeds contempt is what it boils down mm-hmm. to. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll keep an eye on him. I just remember watching a video of him like doing a house tour last summer, and it just was really charming with his wife and kids. And
I've seen him on the ice. This is not a reflection of him as a you know, a person, just yeah, as a goalie.
I don't have strong feelings either way, but I know we got Brian Elliott, which
good
mean,
luck.
No, he's fine. He's okay. It's not bad. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's not as good as Steve Mason, but I just think we needed a change more than anything. So, and we've got such amazing goalie prospects coming up the pipeline that, you know, we need sort of, you know, like the stopgap goalies for now, just to hold those spots open. Because we've got Carter Hart.
Carter Hart, man. Yeah. I am super jealous of you guys for having him.
And yeah, we have really good prospects, so that's exciting. I think I was really excited. Dallas Stars did some good stuff. They did some really good stuff this summer. You know, of course, it started with Ken Hitchcock being named his coach, which I think, you know, for a team that really struggled with defense, you know, to have a defense-minded coach is what they need. Of course, we have Ben Bishop in goal because their goaltending has been dismal. But then they got your Tyler Pitlick, which is probably of all the moves, the least exciting, except he's so charming.
Oh, he's great. Okay. That kid is going places. I am really bummed that the Oilers lost him, because Pitty was like, if he hadn't gotten injured, I mm-hmm. honestly think that he would have ended up being like a real core player on like maybe in the second line, but probably at least the third line. He had some real get up and go, and was just so solid. And I was just super, super bummed when he got injured. Yeah. So I will be cheering for him elsewhere. Another one.
That was, but then like some big heavy hitters. I mean, I got Mark Mathot. The Vegas mm-hmm. flipped him really quickly to the Stars. Like I mentioned earlier, Alexander Radulov mm-hmm. was signed after coming off a really good season in Montreal. You know, there was a little bit of a back and forth. I think he probably might have liked to stay in Montreal, but they just weren't giving him what he wanted. And Dallas mm-hmm. came in and said, okay, we can do that. They got Martin Hansel. So I think they made some really good moves to solidify their offense, but also sort of beef up their defense a little bit. So I'm excited to see what's going to come out of that. I think it was all good stuff. Very smart. But the other team that's kind of intriguing me a little bit is Buffalo Sabres.
Yes,
and I think mostly because of their front office moves. Mm-hmm. Because you know they've got Jack Eichel, who there was a little bit of controversy last year because he was at odds with the coach. Mm-hmm. I think that it was just a really toxic environment with that coach. Period, with a lot of players. So the coach left, the GM left. You know, it's. They just cleaned
house. Clean slate.
Yes, they brought in Jason Botterill as general manager who was assistant GM in Pittsburgh. And then he ended up bringing in Randy Sexton as an assistant GM, who was also in Pittsburgh with him, with the Penguins. And also, Steve, I can't remember Steve's last name right now. I'm drawing a blank. As another assistant GM who was also with Pittsburgh. So what I do think is exciting as well is they're putting Sexton in charge. He's not only assistant GM for the Sabres, but he's also going to be the GM for the Rochester Americans, which Pittsburgh has such a great farm system, mm-hmm. As you can tell by the kids that they kept bringing up. I mean, Pittsburgh is one of those teams that just was battered throughout the season with injuries, yet they still kept finding the depth. They still kept pulling up people and were able to, you know, they just were able to excel in despite of that. So to bring that attitude to Buffalo, which is, sounds as what they're trying to do, I think is really smart. And first of all, they're Rochester Americans and Buffalo Sabres are an hour apart. So it, you're mm-hmm. really able to be hands-on, you know, that's with your great. AHL team. So, you know, especially in salary cap era, and they're going to have to give Jack big money this year. I think that's really smart, and I'm really excited to see what they do, because that's just a team that has just, it deserves to do better than it has been doing. So kind of intrigued by them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm excited too. I don't know why I have like this place in my heart for the Sabres. Maybe, I mean, I've been to Buffalo for like a day. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because Steven kind of likes them, but I just have always kind of like low key rooted for them to succeed, and I think that this is it's a year that they might. I would also, and there's not because they've done anything to make me think that they're going to, but I would really, really like to see the Avalanche be better than last season.
I know.
I'm just gonna completely root for them as the underdog team because yeah, it was just a catastrophe really this last season.
But that's a team that they just didn't do anything.
Yeah.
They just didn't do anything over the summer. Like, they didn't make any good trades. They didn't. There was a while there, like, because let's face it, Arizona Coyotes were like really bad last year as well. And they kind of went a little crazy over the summer. You're like, mm-hmm. what is going on? What is in the water down in Arizona? Like, what's happening? Because they're making all these crazy moves. But then it's like, all right, I can see they're doing some stuff. They're trying some things out. You know, they're bringing some players in, they're trading some players away. I don't agree necessarily with how they handled everything, particularly with Shane Doan's departure, but they at least were doing something. Colorado didn't do anything of significance whatsoever. I mean, everybody's just so hung up on, are they going to trade Matt Duchene, and what are they going to get from Matt Duchene? Like, that's been the only conversation coming out of Colorado. It's mm-hmm. Unless it's just flying under my radar, I don't know. But
I would like to think, and this is purely in my head, I would like to think that they are making more low-key changes that aren't necessarily like, you know, player specific, but that might be reflected on the ice. Because I mean, the team that they have is like they're better than their numbers show. Like I feel like they should have won more games. So I don't know if there's some sort of factor going on that they are trying to address that maybe we can't tell. I don't know. Maybe it was also just like once you start losing that bad, sometimes it's hard to pull yourself back up out of it. It becomes like you get in your head, and starting off fresh may just be a big part of what they need. It's just a new season.
Yeah, you do get to a point where things are just toxic, and you just there's no turning that around. Mm-hmm. I do have to say, Colorado Avalanche has a banging social media presence. They have an adorable Tumblr. they're really like if the cheerfulness of their social media could yank that team and make it elevate, like they would. They try so hard, and they don't have anything to work with, but they're just so cheerful and happy. So. Yeah, so that's kind of what I'm looking forward to. Of course, the Flyers and Patrick Nolan. I want to see him on the ice without an infection on his face and to see what this boy can do. Mm-hmm. Very excited about that. But yeah,
I would like to see Leon Draisaitl get signed.
That would be good.
Still hasn't happened yet.
Is that worrisome to you?
Yes and no. No, because I think that they are going to sign him and it's going to be fine. Yes, because I am just a worrier. Like by nature, like I automatically go to like worst case scenario. So yeah, there's a part of me that's panicking, but it's the irrational part of me, and I recognize that. You know, but it seems like the people who know what they're talking about seem like it's going to happen. It's just going to take some time to get it done. Which okay, fine. just they don't like the suspense.
It's going to be interesting too. I'm not interested in it other than a purely intellectual exercise because I don't care. Mm-hmm. Chicago kind of went a little nuts in the off season too. Like bringing the band back together, you know, they brought Patrick Sharp back in. They got rid of, Panarin they got rid of, which surprised the heck out of me. They brought Stahl back in. So yeah, I'm like, this is interesting. Let's see what the thought is there because they've got some cap space issues as well. But
yeah.
As we talked before, cap space issues just means they've got a lot of people they need to pay and they don't have enough money to do that.
Mm-hmm. Which I think the Oilers are also thinking about quite a bit with Draisaitl because, you know, they're paying Connor McDavid quite a bit. I mean, not as much as they probably could or should be, but yeah, Draisaitl is also such a strong player that he should, you know, he can command a pretty strong salary as well, but you still also need to have enough money to pay the rest of the players because, you know, like you were just talking about Pittsburgh, depth is important because just because you have two players who are amazing, what happens, heaven forfend, if something is to go wrong with one of them, they were to get injured. You still need everybody else on the team to be able to perform as well.
Hey, once we get Andrew McDonald off our contract with the books, you know, we'll have some money floating around. We'll take Leon.
No, you can't have him.
I'm a giver. I would do this for you to relieve your Edmonton Oilers of
bite
this
your tongue,
horrendous
Stanish.
Problem. I think he would look really good in flyer orange, the proper orange. So, okay. We'll arm wrestle over it later. So rather than doing a what the puck, because honestly, it's off season, it's summer vacation. I thought we'd talk about what the puck we're doing with our summer. Like, how are you surviving without this hockey thing going on? Because I just, you know, I'm listening to NHL radio almost every day, and that's getting a little repetitive because you can only talk about the same thing so many times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, reading the NHL blogs, watching the news, endless arguments about John Tavares. Is he going to sign? Is he not going to sign? Like at this point, I just want to drive up to John's house and say, please, for the love of God, do something so I don't have to hear the 700th conversation about you on NHL radio. So what are you doing to get through these dark, dark months?
I'm playing a lot of Grand Theft Auto 5 online. We've had some hockey games on in the house, just like replays, because we have the NHL Network, or not NHL Network, NHL.TV, which in Canada is Rogers Game Center, I think it's called. Whatever it is, that's the app on the Apple TV that you can play highlights of old games and stuff. So Steven at times will throw on, like, you know, highlights of Oilers games or just some random old hockey. So it's not like there's no hockey happening in the house, but there's nothing, you know, particularly new or exciting. So I've mostly been hockey free except for the occasional conversations at work with my coworkers, my hockey ladies, about, you know, what we're excited about and sad about and that sort of thing.
Love the hockey ladies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting, like, of all of the people at work that I talk about hockey with, it's the ladies that I talk to way more, and, you know, numbers wise it's kind of even, so it's interesting.
Yeah, I've been reading a little bit, been hockey books, just trying to scratch the itch. Like I said, just kind of obsessively following Twitter accounts and hockey players on Instagram to see what they're doing in the summer because they're having a really good time. Like, they don't look like they're in a hurry to get back. Thank you, everybody up at your cottage.
But hey, and you have a jersey now.
I do. My friend Rachel, who was our guest last time, sent me a Flyers jersey for my birthday, which is very sweet. It's the new Reebok jersey, too. So it's like the cool new design, cool sleeve design. It's very, very neat. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It is my first new Flyers hockey jersey. I do have some retro jerseys that I've picked up, which is kind of fun and cool. But yeah, it's my first brand new Reebok jersey.
We have been to see the new Oilers jerseys, which are not available yet, at the there's one store. It's an Oilers official store at the Kingsway Mall in Edmonton. And yes, Stephen has been several times to look at the jerseys because he's such a jersey nerd. And I have gone with him. And I love them. I know you said that Flyers orange is the proper orange, but oh my God, am I in love with the new Oilers orange. I didn't think I was going to like it. If you described it to me in words, I would have said thumbs down, but seeing it in person is a completely different thing. Mm. I really like, because it's a little bit, the previous orange, you know, the orange crush orange that they had last year was like a more bright, vivid, I mean, it was, I think it was probably a little closer to Flyers orange, and I really like that color, so I was bummed that they were going to change it. And what they've changed it to, describing it in words, is more, a little bit paler, a little more like a creamsicle sort of orange. Mm-hmm. And in my head, when I hear those words, I go, bleh. But seeing it put together with a slightly darker navy blue that they've got going on this year, it is just sharp as can be. I really like it. And I like the fact that it's a little more differentiated from the Flyers orange. It doesn't look the same anymore.
Right, because we are vibrantly orange. We are mm-hmm. aggressively orange. We are in your face orange, yep. Which befits my team, mm-hmm. to be honest.
That is fair. Whereas we are a little bit more mellow. Yeah, yeah, very, very much so.
You're Canadian orange.
Yep.
That's I'm dubbing that the new color. It's Canadian orange. It's a little bit less aggressive. It's more polite.
Yep.
Oh, so yeah. So I've been trying to scratch the itch a little bit that way. Bringing the game. I got that as mm-hmm. a gift this summer, so that was exciting. And there was One Night Only is a book that I just finished up a couple weeks ago, which was super cool. It was a book that talked about players who played one game in the NHL. That's it. Just one game. Whether they got called up from the AHL, they get to play one game, and like talking to them and getting their, you know, getting their memories of that. So that was kind of a cool thing to read. And I've also been, I just got out of the library. I haven't started yet. A book called Beavertown, which is a fictional novel by Ove. And I can't remember his first name right now because I don't have it in front of me. And, you know, a totally literary novel set around a junior hockey team. So, and a murder.
Wow.
Of course. So I'm really excited to read that. So I kind of feel like I'm like keeping my fingers in. It just feels like it's scratching around the itch. Sort of when you have a mosquito bite, like it would feel mm-hmm. really good to scratch it, but you don't want to do that. So you kind of like scratch the skin around it. That's what it feels like, to be perfectly honest. But I just can't wait. Every time like some tidbit of news comes up, I'm just like, oh, salivating. So it's been really exciting. But I think we should have a shared hockey tidbit, because we kind of have an announcement, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Well, we thought, since we're kind of missing hockey a lot, mm-hmm. there's probably other people out there kind of missing hockey a lot, that mm-hmm. we would do a hockey movie night.
Yep.
So why don't you tell everybody what movie we selected to watch, to do a live tweet, and then we'll do a podcast about it.
We are going to be watching a movie called The Ice Guardians, which is a documentary film about enforcers, which mm-hmm. is something that we've kind of talked about that role quite a bit on previous episodes of the podcast. And this is one that I know, Deb, you've had your eye on for quite a while. And when you described it to me, I was like, well, honestly, I will watch any documentary about hockey. I'm not that picky, just because I find the ins and outs of the game really fascinating. So I am excited to watch this and learn a little bit more about the enforcer role and the Ice Guardians. And yeah, we are totally going to pick a night. We will let you know on our Twitter feed. We're going to pick a night and start it at the same time and live tweet it. So if you are interested, you can sort of watch along and join us.
Yeah, really excited about this. It kind of hit my radar last year because I think it was at the Toronto Film Festival, if I'm not mistaken. And then they did a tour, and I was really bummed that I didn't get a chance to see this when it came to Philadelphia, because they did a live screening, and then they actually had some of the players do a Q&A who were in that. And if you look at the list of players who are in this, Chris Chelios, Dave Semenko, who just recently passed away from mm-hmm. the Oilers, he's in it. Drew McNelia, Dave Schultz, of course, because that's why they were in Philadelphia. Wendell Clark, Brett Hull. So yeah, there's a lot of talent that came together to talk about this, and sort of what their role is and the pros and cons of that. And it's a very, from what I understand, it's a very, very thoughtful film. And it just doesn't glorify the violence of the sport. Like some, you know, when we watch Slapshot and then we watch Goon, you know, it's sort of a more celebratory in a way. Like, yep. This is what hockey is. I think this is a little more thoughtful. So I'm really excited about watching it. It just came out on DVD. It is available for streaming as well. So,
yep, I see it's on iTunes.
Yep. So if anybody is interested in watching that, I think you can rent it from Amazon Video for like $3.99. So if anybody would like to watch that with us, we will be live tweeting that from the Beginner's Puck account. As we watch it together. So I am really excited because we did this with Goon when we did the members special episode, but we didn't watch that together. We just talked about it afterwards. So
So this will be cool.
Yeah. You know, last year the NHL did a movie night and I was so excited about this. It was going to be Miracle on Ice, which, hey, great movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
And They were, the NHL social media account was like, yeah, we're all going to watch this movie. Are you in? Colorado Avalanche. And Colorado Avalanche came back and said, yeah, we'll be there. Everybody was talking about live tweeting it, but it didn't actually air on the NHL network, which I thought was really strange. They just picked this random night where you could go out and watch this movie and I guess tweet along if you were. It didn't even have a let's go start time sort of thing. It just like, hey, weird. We're watching it tonight. Yeah, it was very weird. So we're going to do that too, but we're just a podcast. We're not the NHL network.
Yeah. So. We will also have we will tell you what time in different time zones we're going to start it.
We'll be a little bit more organized in the NHL.
Yeah.
So very excited about that. So that, I think, is a very good hockey tidbit to close out this podcast. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that. So it'll be later in the month because I have a little bit of travel coming up. Once I get back from that and get settled in, we will watch The Ice Guardians and then do a special podcast with a special guest to discuss the movie. So if you didn't get a chance to watch it, you'll at least get to hear us sort of break it down a little bit because if there's nothing else, we're very good at breaking down media.
Yep. It is what we do.
It is.
It's been so nice to talk to you about hockey, Deb. I have missed it. This is also sort of scratching around that itch.
I know it's been ages. It's absolutely been ages.
Too long.
You have been listening to Beginner's Puck, and remember, hockey is for everyone, especially for you. Beginner's Puck is a Castrier production for the Incomparable Network. Our catchy theme tune is Ephemeral by Sunspot. Have a hockey question you'd like us to discuss on an upcoming episode? Reach out to us on Twitter at Beginner's Puck or email us at beginnerspuck@gmail.com. And you can find all of our extensive show notes at theincomparable.com/puck.